out here, you can. Okay, well, ask your parents. Won't bother me. All right. Well, Jesus taught us to pray. Give us today our daily bread. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. We're learning what it means for our lives, and it's teaching us not just to pray, but also to live in trust towards our Lord. And so since Jesus taught us to pray, give us today our daily bread, let's start today by praying. So can you please pray with me? Father in heaven, you care for us. Your Holy Spirit is present with us right now, and you hear us as we call upon you. And so we ask you, Lord, give us all that we need today. And give us especially the one thing we need more than anything else, which is to hear what you are speaking into our lives today. Teach us through your word. Change our hearts and minds to trust and follow you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So God is alive. God calls us to pray, and God hears our prayers. And you know, we say these things, that God hears and answers our prayers. We say this as a kind of a declaration of our belief, because we know it's true, we know it's right. But deep down, we might feel a little differently about it. We might feel a little differently. This is something we might not say out loud, if we're honest, but sometimes we really wonder if anyone's hearing us when we pray. It's kind of like this. It's like a speaker at a high school graduation ceremony, and get the picture in your head, and he's speaking, and he's trying to say something really important for all these young people who are graduating, and before too long, a baby starts crying, and then another one joins in. And the noise level is rising. And then a toddler gets up and starts running around the auditorium, up and down the aisles. And then another one is chasing that first toddler, and he's losing the whole crowd. He knows no one's paying attention to him. And so this speaker tried every trick he knew. He just tried speaking louder, and that didn't work. He told funny stories, and that didn't work. And he paced back and forth and waved his arms around and did everything he could try, and nothing worked. Nothing worked to get people's attention back to him. And then he saw there in the front row, there was one man who was sitting and listening intently, nodding approvingly every few moments at what he was saying. And so the speaker, he concentrated his whole attention on that one man. And by doing that, he was able to get focused and ignore the distractions and salvage the speech he was there to give. Afterwards, the speaker asked the school principal, he said, "Well, can you introduce me to this man who was listening so intently to what I was saying?" And the principal said, "Well, I can try, but it might be kind of tough because he's actually deaf. He can't hear a thing." So he wasn't distracted, right? Well, do we ever go through the motions of prayer? Do we ever speak to God because we know that's what we're supposed to do? Because we know that's what we're meant to do, but then we wonder if anyone's actually listening. We wonder if that message is getting through to anyone at all. And I think most of us wouldn't admit this out loud, but sometimes that's how we feel. Well, Jesus taught us to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." And we're asking, what does this mean for us as we pray? What does it mean for our relationship with God? And how might these words of Jesus change our lives as well? And so we're going to think about this. The first thing that this prayer teaches us today is that, you know, God actually is involved in our lives. And not just in kind of a special way off on the edge of our lives, but every day, in every way, God is involved in our lives. When we pray for our daily bread, it's not so much about spiritual things or spectacular things that we might see once in a while, like miracles in our lives. When we pray for daily bread, it's an everyday prayer. And this prayer speaks the reality that God is present in our lives as we wake up in the mornings, as we wake up our kids in the mornings, we get their lunches ready and send them off to school. God is present in our lives as we commute to work. God is present in our lives as we do household chores and take care of our homes and people around us. God is present in our lives as we maybe deal with a coworker who's difficult, that one person who works down the hall that you find it really hard to work with. Wherever you turn, God is present. At the very end of the gospel, according to Matthew, this is the Great Commission. We all know the Great Commission. After Jesus tells his disciples to go out and make disciples and to baptize, he says, "Surely I am with you always. He's present with his disciples. That's his promise. And also, Psalm 23, the psalm that we all recognize, it starts with, "The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want." And then this verse that we know, probably the older translation, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." And the newer translation, you see, "Even though I walk through the darkest valley." I think I like the older translation a little better. But that is what the psalmist confesses, that, "Lord, you are with me. You are present in my life." God is always present in our lives, in the ups and the downs, in the successes and the failures of our lives, the times when we feel something spiritual and the times when we may feel not much of anything at all. God is present. God is with us. And it's a challenge for us today to live as if God is always present. In our world today, we kind of have this assumption in our minds and in our heads, this assumption about the way the world works. In our world today, we tend to see life as split between two different realms. There's this sacred realm and this secular realm. And the sacred realm is for sacred times and sacred places. And the secular realm we think of as like everything else. And so we tend to think of the church as like this sacred space. And maybe Sunday morning as a sacred time. And maybe our daily prayers or Bible study or something like that as a sacred time where God is present and with us. But then when we think about everything else, everything out there, the world of buying groceries, the world of changing diapers, the world of mowing lawns, the world of clocking to work, out there we think we're left to ourselves. And we think that God is here for spiritual activities in our lives, but all that daily bread kind of stuff, we think, "I've got to do that myself." And if we think if we've got a lot of daily bread, we must be doing something right. And we also think if I've got maybe just a little bit of daily bread, or it seems like not quite enough, then we think we're doing something wrong. And the truth is, while you might be doing something right, you might be doing something wrong, and pretty much always the answer is we're doing a little of both, right? That's not the point. The point is that God is with us through it all. God is here. Yes, he's here in this service, but he's also here with us as you go and get lunch later today, after you leave, as you go to bed tonight, as you go to work or school, as you rest and enjoy time with friends and family. God is here in our lives. And when we pray to God, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are insisting that God is with us every moment. And God is not merely present. You know, he's not just here and standing aside and kind of doesn't care what's going on. God is paying attention to us too. God wants a relationship with us, we know, and relationship always, always, always involves communication. God cares about what is going on in your life, and more than that, he wants to hear about it. This is part of why we pray, because of course God already knows your struggles and your victories. God already knows your needs, and he already knows what you think about your day-to-day life. But when Jesus teaches us to pray, "Lord, give us this day our daily bread," he's teaching us to pray, to talk with God about these daily things. He's showing us that God wants us to share our daily lives with him. So God wants to talk with you about it, like mom or dad on the phone after a frustrating week at work or at home. God wants to talk with you about it. Or like a friend sitting at a coffee shop as you're venting, you're ranting about something that's happening that day or that week. God is listening to it all. And so maybe you're just tired. You're exhausted from life and you need the daily bread of some rest. You can talk with God about it. Or maybe you're frustrated with your boss or with a family member and you just don't know what to do. You can talk with God about it. Maybe you've lost the ability to connect with a son or a daughter. You can talk with God about it. Or maybe you just don't have any idea how to be friends with your neighbor and you want to do that. You can talk with God about it. This is daily bread kind of stuff. This is what we're talking about. And we don't have to figure out exactly what to do with these daily bread problems, because the truth is, we're not the important answer to these problems anyway. And while we might be able to do different things in our lives, do something differently, act differently, say something differently to change our situation, to address some of these problems in our daily lives, what's much deeper and more important is that Jesus challenges to ask God to give us this day our daily bread, to provide everything we need. And so we start there. And we stay there because God is paying attention. He's present and he's paying attention. And we believe this by faith. And, you know, I can share, you know, just a little bit of our own story. Here at Southwest Lutheran Church, we're a great example of this very thing. Because, you know, we've been doing okay for a couple years. But if you think back 4 or 5 years ago, there were a lot of concerns here, right? There were. And the concerns that were here, you know, they weren't concerns that maybe God is suddenly not present in this space as we worship. The concern wasn't that God is no longer working on us and speaking to us through his word. The concern wasn't that Jesus is maybe no longer present in the Lord's Supper as we celebrate that together. The concern that we had was daily bread kind of stuff. There's bills to pay, and we're not totally sure we have the money that's coming in to cover it. And let me ask you, 4 or 5 years ago, I wasn't here, but what'd you do to fix that problem? Really nothing, because it wasn't your problem to fix. Even though there were practical steps you took, you watched the budget, you know, you saved what you can, found a pastor, kept doing church as best you could, the most important thing you did was pray. Father, give us this day our daily bread. And God was present, and God was paying attention, and God was trustworthy. Now, you probably know the cartoon comic series Family Circus by Bill Keane. You've seen that maybe before. And he's got this comic where there's the older brother. He's leaning on a crushed football. I don't know if he popped it or what happened to the football. But he says, I need a new football, and I'm just not sure what to do. I don't know if I should send a prayer up to heaven, or maybe I should write a letter to Santa Claus, or maybe I should just call Grandma and ask her for one. One of the reasons I think why it can feel like we're praying to a deaf God, one of the reasons why we feel sometimes like it can feel like no one's paying attention, is that we treat prayer a bit like this in our lives. That when something goes wrong, then it's time to pray. When something goes wrong, we need somebody to fix it. And God becomes our fixer. And when God doesn't come through for us and fix that problem in the way we were hoping or in the way that we were expecting, then we start to feel like God may not be listening. We wonder if he's listening. And so when we ask for God to provide our daily bread, it's not as if we're treating God like the great vending machine in the sky, as if we can push the right buttons and out comes the result we want. This prayer for daily bread, it reminds us of an Old Testament story. It was the scripture reading we had for today from Exodus chapter 16, where literally we saw daily bread for God's people, right? And so what was happening here was that God had just freed the Israelites, God's people. He had freed them from slavery in Egypt after they had been stuck there for 400 years. They were suffering under the unjust rule of Pharaoh, and you've heard this story before. God calls Moses. God sends Moses to go talk to Pharaoh. He says, let my people go, right? You've heard how God sent plagues on Egypt when Pharaoh refused to listen. And then you've heard how God gave his people a miraculous escape through the Red Sea when he split the waters and God's people were able to escape by walking across on dry ground in the middle of the Red Sea. And it wasn't too long after that until God's people began to grumble. We read, in the desert, the whole community grumbled against Moses and Aaron. The Israelites said to them, if only we had died by the Lord's hand in Egypt. There we sat around pots of meat and ate all the food we wanted, but you have brought us out into this desert to starve this entire assembly to death. And so God gave them daily bread, literally, right? Then the Lord said to Moses, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see if they will follow my instructions. And so 6 days a week, the Israelites would wake up to the ground being covered in bread around their tents, around their camp, and they called this bread manna. And the Israelites were told to collect the manna each morning because it would only last so long, and they were only supposed to collect enough for one day. And in fact, some tried to store it up, some tried to collect more, and what happened was it spoiled, it rotted, and it got really gross. They couldn't eat it. The Israelites were being challenged to trust God to provide for just today and not tomorrow. They were challenged to trust that God was present with them, that he was listening to them, that he was trustworthy to provide for them each day. And any worry that they would have about tomorrow would keep them from trusting God today. And in fact, the only time they were supposed to think about the next day was on that sixth day of the week, when the next day was the Sabbath. That was supposed to be a day of rest. And so that was the only day they were supposed to go out and gather enough food for 2 days on the sixth day, so that then they could rest the following day on the Sabbath. And so that's what the people did. Every day, God gave them all that they needed, but he only gave them enough for that day. They had to learn to trust God. And I think that we today, we have some extra challenges when it comes to trusting God for our daily bread. You know, it seems like our society today, it runs on fear. We look at the news every day, and it tells us everything we need to be afraid of. Sometime off in the future, sometime, I don't know when, but, you know, be afraid because it will happen or it could happen to you. Things like gun violence or economic problems or natural disasters or more. And then every day we see commercials, we see ads on TV or online or in the papers, and these commercials are all about telling us, be afraid if you don't have enough. You don't have the right kind of cars or clothes or makeup or gadgets, and they try to make us afraid that we're missing out somehow if we don't buy their product or their service. And you know, we'll mess up our lives if we don't have this thing or that thing, or even worse, they tell us you'll mess up your kids' lives if you don't have this thing or that thing. This new toy they really need, right? And you know, it may be that sometimes we have a real problem, and the solution is practical, ordinary, everyday, buy something to fix it. And that's not bad. But the reality is that the answer to our deeper problem, the answer to all of our fears, isn't found in figuring out how we can protect ourselves from tomorrow's problems. The answer to all of our fears is found in the fact that God has been trustworthy in the past. And the answer to all of our fears is found in the fact that God has been trustworthy today. And the answer to all of our fears is that God has proven himself to be trustworthy, and we know by faith that he will be trustworthy tomorrow as well. And so we trust him. We trust him with our daily bread, and we trust him now. Now let me share a passage from Scripture. We've looked at this already in this message series, and this is the Apostle Paul's instructions about prayer, but it's appropriate to look at again today. This is really Paul's instructions about trust. And it illustrates trust in our Lord so well. So Paul says, he says, I urge then, first of all, that petitions, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for all people, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and mankind, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all people, and this has now been witnessed to at the proper time. And for this purpose I was appointed a herald and an apostle. I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, and a true and faithful teacher of the Gentiles. Therefore, I want the men everywhere to pray, lifting up holy hands without anger or disputing. Here Paul challenges us to pray for others, to pray for those in authority in our city, in our nation, to pray that we might live lives in godliness and holiness, to pray that others would be saved from sin and sinfulness, that they would come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, like we do. And prayer is not a way for us to get every whim and every desire of our hearts. We can express our desires to God, and he wants to hear those from us. But when we pray, we recognize that we're entering into the presence of God. When we pray, we're offering ourselves to him, that he would work in us and through us by his wisdom, and that we pray knowing that he loves us more than anyone else can or anyone else will. We pray believing that he knows us, and in fact he knows our situations better than we do, and that he may know the way through that situation. He is working in that situation in ways that are beyond our understanding. And to pray in this way takes trust. Trust more than anything else. Our world today tells us to trust in ourselves, trust in our own efforts, trust in our own abilities, trust in our own bank accounts or credit cards. But when Jesus teaches us to pray for our daily bread, that is a call for us to trust in the trustworthy God. The last verse that we had in that scripture reading I just read tells us to lift up holy hands in prayer, without anger or disputing. And you know what this is a picture of when we're praying like this is, it's a picture of like a little child looking up to their parent and saying, God, take care of me. It's a picture of a little child, like my girls who are walking, both of them now, and it's scary that they do, but when they walk up and they put up their hands and they say, up, up, they're saying, pick me up and love me. Hold me in your arms and take care of me and maybe change my diaper too. And the same way, we come before our Father in heaven. We throw up our arms and we say, God, give us this day our daily bread, because we know we can't make everything happen on our own. We can't make our lives all better on our own, so God, save us. And that's exactly what God has promised to do, and that's exactly what God has done through his Son, Jesus Christ. We read, there is one God and one mediator between God and men, and that is the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself as a ransom for all people. Because Jesus died on the cross and rose again, we can approach the Father as his children. We can come to our Father through the work, the life, and the death of Jesus. Jesus is our high priest. He's the mediator between man and God. That means he's the go-between. That we can talk to Jesus, and we can talk in Jesus' name, and God hears us as a result. And so we are drawn into communication. We're drawn into connection and relationship with our Father through Jesus. God hears, and he answers our prayers because he's love. Jesus promises to us. He says, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And that is the Father's love. Jesus is our proof, more than anything else, that God is present, that God is paying attention, and that God is trustworthy. Jesus is our proof that God is not sitting up in heaven and distant and deaf to our prayers, but God is present. God is paying attention, and God is trustworthy. So give us this day our daily bread. And by this prayer, we are God's people. By this prayer, we love one another just as Jesus first loved us. By this prayer, we serve our community. And by this prayer, we live every day. Amen. Let's stand.